Hello and welcome to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. These are your hosts, Ted and Austin Brower, today. And can you hear the feed there, Austin, or do you have any idea if you're on or not?
I can hear it now. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Basically, been blank for about the past 30 seconds. But yeah,
we're good.
Okay,
go ahead and start, bud. Thank you, everybody. I'm glad you guys know this isn't scripted. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody's having a fantastic Friday. Lots of news as always. I'm sure as you guys have already been listening to other news that's going on right now, the Pfizer memo has been released, so we're not going to spend a ton of information and time on that, as you guys have already heard, I'm sure, a lot of it. But what it really has shown us is what pretty much we already told you guys, all the way from this dossier that was funded by the Clinton campaign, really showed that the numerous left-leaning media outlets conspired with the deep state to knowingly publish false information. Of course, the dossier is just totally fabricated collection of lies by the Fusion GPS, which was funded by the Clinton campaign to create fake evidence, essentially, that could be taken to the FISA court in order to earn approval for spying on it. I think they got like three different extensions from some of the stuff I'm going through right now. So, yeah, pretty wild stuff. Of course, the Dems are all going to say that this is all fake news, doesn't exist, they have no idea what they're talking about, and so forth, the same lies that they continue to peddle. So what's your take on it real quick, Deb?
Well, the Steele dossier is just all junk. In fact, what we have here, let's try to make it as simple as I can. We got a foreign agent, right? His name is Christopher Steele, and he absolutely loathes Trump. In fact, he wanted to do anything he possibly could do to prevent Trump from being elected. He was being used by the Democratic Party, by the Hillary Clinton campaign, and their political supporters, who were also Democrats, in the FBI and the Department of Justice, which should never, ever happen, basically to subvert an electoral collection for the United States president. I mean, this is it. I mean, they were completely trying to completely take over the U.S. Constitution, the United States government, and subvert the electoral process. It had absolutely nothing to do with the Russians. Basically, what they did, they took former FBI Director James Comey, who willfully and knowingly signed off on Foreign Intelligence Survey Act, and they used that to get this information on Trump and to wiretrap American citizens, despite knowing the applications had material omissions of fact. In other words, they were fake. They deliberately concealed from the FISA court the fact that material they were telling the court came from political opposition research and was not a credible source. In other words, they did not bother to tell the FBI that this stuff was all fake and it was all politically motivated. Now, pretty much that seems like that's perjury by Mr. Comey, which I think he needs to be arrested for this. Also, you got Deputy Director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, he also knew these facts, but he also proceeded to do it. Then you had Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, she also knew and she participated. And then you had Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who should be terminated and go to jail right now, appears to have known all of this stuff, yet he participated in the facts. In short, this is absolutely treason at the highest levels of the FBI and the U.S. Justice Department. And it's showing you how incredibly corrupt they are, how they're willing to weaponize the national intelligence just to achieve their own political goals, to maintain, I guess, whoever told them to do all of this, or they're going to be basically blackmailed. They're trying to subvert courts, the law and the will of the American people. Even worse, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who should be in jail right now, knowing the allegations of the Russian collusion were completely and still fraudulent. Now, I'm going to say it again. He knew they were fraudulent, yet he still appointed Robert Mueller as special counsel, knowing that the allegations were fraudulent, to investigate the Trump administration for Russian collusion that he knew never took place. This is the guy right here, Rosenstein, this Sabbatean Kabbalist, I believe, this Luciferian, I believe, this Zionist, I believe, this neocon, I believe, my opinion, did all of this. So all of these fingers are pointing back to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein for appointing Mueller. So basically, here's what it boils down to. Obama's government, the DNC, and members of the mainstream media through the Rothschild banking cartel and through Reuters and through the AP Wire all conspired to fix a presidential election. by deceiving a secret court, allowed to spy on American citizens. This is getting so twisted. And Russians couldn't have done a better job destroying the sacred American institutions than the Democratic Party has done. Guys, if nobody goes to jail on this, they better send Rosenstein to jail. And all of these other guys, they need to be doing some very quick retirement, boys, on these boys. If I was these guys, every one of these guys I listed, I would go as quickly to a non-extradition country as you possibly could. Because, boys, this thing's going to come down on top of you guys like a doggone pile of, reprocessed sewage. I mean, this is where this is going, guys. This is going to be a major, major mess for all of these guys if Trump comes in and does what Trump needs to do and now convenes a special prosecutor if he can possibly do that. But the least he can do, being head of the Justice Department and all these other things that he can do, he can fire all of these people, Austin. Get rid of them, Trump and all. And quite frankly, the entire investigation now with Mueller, that was done by Rosenstein, it needs to go away. What do you think?
Well, this is a point in time right now. We're about to find out very quickly whether or not Trump has any power whatsoever as president. This is about to be it. We already know that we have people like Gottlieb, the head of the FDA. The chemtrails haven't stopped. Well, Trump has done a lot of significant things that I'm very proud of, but there's a lot of things that are not being done that should be done. This is one of those things. If he comes forward and basically says, well, these guys really aren't bad people, they just kind of made a few mistakes, we just need to kind of let them be, let them retire in peace, and let them go on their way. Kind of like what he did after he won the election and he did the interview about Hillary, how basically he said he was going to have Hillary basically indicted. He was going to have an investigation done on her. He wanted to have her thrown in prison for all the illegal stuff. And then while he's running the campaign, I mean, it's all about he's going to hammer Hillary as far as she's going to jail, prison, no question that. And then as soon as he's basically elected and he has his meeting at the White House with Obama and whoever else is in that meeting, he does his interview and he comes out and basically says, well, they're not bad people. We just kind of need to let them retire. They've already been defeated. Garbage, in my opinion, completely irritated the hound out of me when I heard him say that. We're about to find out right now, real quick, if he has any say whatsoever in our United States government. And I really hope he does. This is going to be that time, because if he comes in and we start seeing numerous indictments, numerous people going to prison, multiple people basically being let go or stepping down immediately, that's going to need to start happening ASAP. If that doesn't happen, then we know the globalists are 100% in charge, not, 90 or 95% in charge like we were anticipating. So this is definitely something that we will continue to watch, and everybody will keep updated. We'll keep updated with our articles on it. I'm sure the Hagmans will keep you guys updated, and we'll continue to see what happens here, Dad. Definitely some stuff needs to happen real quick with this.
Well, also, I want to say one thing real quick. I had an email come in today that said that you and I were basically supporting Trump because we thought he did a good job on his State of the Union address. Now, well, let me stop right there, all right? Number one, I watched 20 minutes of it. Then as soon as he started in on the Afghanistan lying about the drugs and all the drug cultures and covering for the CIA and the importation of heroin and all of the doggone mafia, I turned it off. I didn't watch anything else. So everything else I watched was this. I was so nauseated by it, I turned it off. I had enough of it. Okay, now, what I did say when we discussed this is it was a nationalistic speech in which it was really focused on his base and on the Republican members of the party who aren't aware of what's going on underneath the scenes with the secret government. All right, this is the thing that he did, which is reminiscent to me of the Reagan speeches. Now, do I like Ronald Reagan? I liked what Ronald Reagan stood for when he went into office and his stance against communism, but he was completely and totally co-opted by the Bush, by his Vice President Bush within 60 days when they tried to kill him. Now, at that point in time, Ronald Reagan pretty much lived in a sleep-induced stupor from all the drugs and medication they had him on until they finally ended up giving the man Alzheimer's disease right after he left office. He probably had Alzheimer's while he was in office. Who knows what the drug cocktail they gave him. Now, do I like everything Ronald Reagan did? Absolutely not. Now, I'm going to make that very clear. Am I a Reagan fan? I'm a Reagan fan because he was an incredible orator and he was a nationalist. and he really, really galvanized the United States people, and he made the bulk of the population feel good about America again, which after Jimmy Carter's nightmare performance after 4 years of that mess, we had to have somebody in there like Reagan. Could Reagan have really made some changes if he had been allowed to do what Reagan could have done? Yes, I believe that. But in overall, did I think Reagan was a good president? I don't think so. I don't think he was a good president. I think we had the Iran-Contra mess. We had all of the mess happen with what happened with, you know, with all these drugs come in and the weapons for the Contras and all the other stuff that was a carryover from the Clinton administration. I believe that he was basically being used as a figurehead. So as an individual, I liked Ronald Reagan. Then he also did that whole thing banning machine guns and all the stuff he did with the doggone vaccine companies. So yep. Don't tell me I'm a big Reagan fan because I'm not. But I liked the way he spoke. I like the way he presented his material, and I like the way he did the debates. I like all that stuff, but I'm not 100% like Reagan. I'm not that way. Now, Donald Trump, same thing. I like the way he's pulled us together in national unity as a nationalist again. I like the way he defeated the Witch of Benghazi. And I don't know what to do with what Trump has done now, with what he's done with Gottlieb, all of these Goldman Sachs people, and all of this stuff that he's continuing to do. So I believe that Austin's exactly right. I believe that the White House is being controlled by the neocons and the Zionists. And I also believe they're being controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel and the Luciferians. I've told you guys that. So just because I say Trump did a good job on his speech, and I've liked some of the things that he's done, I'm not giving you some giant standing ovation for Donald Trump. I am not doing that. And what I've said 100 times, and I'll continue saying this, I'm going to continue to report the stuff as I see it. And I will say this again. I am blessed in my heart, mind, soul, body that Hillary Clinton did not win this election. Because this woman already told us what she wanted. She wanted pedophilia made legal. She wanted bestiality made legal. She wanted all of this stuff that Obama had started, just pushed and forced upon the American population. So to me, when I rejoice in the fact that Donald Trump won the election, it's not because of Donald Trump. It's because Hillary didn't win. As awful and twisted as that sounds, that's the truth. Now, and the reason for that is all of these guys who get to play in the billionaire boys club or the billionaire women's club, they all have to do certain things to be allowed to get to that level. If it means trading with the mafia, trading with the Russian mafia, trading with the Jewish mafia, trading with the Italian mafia, whatever, because this entire thing is being run through the CIA, through the Vatican, through the corrupt members of the Vatican Bank, and also through the mob. And this is what's going on, guys. So we can't separate. Now, if you're on my personal email list, I send you a lot of stuff that talks about this stuff that I don't talk about on the show because I can't vet the information. So, guys, it's so important that you don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm glad Trump's president. I'm glad he's made some good decisions. I'm glad he's cut back a lot of the regulations. I don't like his personal life. I told you the other day that I thought the guy was a pig as far as the way he's always trying to have sex with these married women. I can't stand that. That nauseates me, guys. You know, and I know many of you have had wives that have run around on you. And many of you have had husbands that have run around you and committed adultery on you. And you know how hurt that makes you feel on the inside. I get these letters about so-and-so's wife did this or so-and-so's husband did this. Guys, there's nothing more hurtful to a marriage to find out that your husband or your wife or your spouse or the person that you're married to has committed adultery on you. So I can't respect the man. I can respect the office. But I can't respect Donald Trump. I've told you that. So don't take my saying that he did a good nationalistic speech for the State of the Union as a ringing endorsement of Donald Trump. That is not how I believe this is going down. I've told you, we've got the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, playing this game with us, with polarity, playing both sides against the middle, moving the general consensus in the area and the direction they want to do it in. This is a game they have played for hundreds of years, since 1666, when Sabbatane Levy started his little crusade. Now, they've also been doing it all the way back to Nimrod and all the boys back to the Druid days. This is nothing new these guys have done, and I've talked about it repeatedly on this show, and as far as I know, Austin, we're the only show that talks about this stuff. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. I mean, we hit everything as open-minded as we can, and, you know, with no filter, essentially, as much as possible, yeah, because we want to give everybody our true, honest opinion on it. Also, too, this is something that I really wanted to touch base on today, because I'm not going to drop the incident in Vegas. Every time I keep getting more info on it, I'm going to continue bringing it up. We talked about last month about how basically the coroner said he only autopsied half the people that were killed. Now he basically released all the autopsy records as of yesterday of all 58 people that were killed. The reports supposedly named the cause of death, all of which were gunshot wounds, allegedly. The report also lists where each victim was shot, which injuries they suffered, the clothes they wore, height, weight, tattoos, description of their bodies, including organs. The records were released after a public records lawsuit was filed by the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Each report has the victims' names redacted, which I found interesting, which I understand that from a privacy standpoint, but on the other hand, too, it seems a bit weird to me as well, because how do you know they're not just making stuff up and using cadaver bodies or using other bodies? You really don't know. Most reports specify that the victims were not shot at close range. Okay, whatever. Some victims who were shot in the head did not have full internal autopsies. Okay, whatever. Now, here's the weird part about it. The district court judge has now ordered on Tuesday that the Clark County Coroner's Office release the autopsy reports of Stephen Paddock. As of today, though, the Clark County Coroner, John Fudenberg, the one who released all the individuals who were killed, their autopsies, he has not complied with the district court judge's order. He indicated he would not release Paddock's autopsy report until it was finalized. Wait, finalized? Hold on a second. That doesn't make any sense. We're talking 4 months now. We're talking 4 months since the incident. 4 months since the incident. Secondly, the entire narrative that we've been told is that Paddock stuck a pistol in his mouth, blew his brains out, and now this SWAT team is saying that they witnessed him do it when they entered the room, when they raided the room, when basically they went up there, as we saw a couple days ago, which I don't believe at all, but that's what they're saying. So you got an individual who is standing in his room, blew his brains out with witnesses on the SWAT team, and the coroner still has not finalized the autopsy report. Well, here's where it gets weirder. The Las Vegas attorney, Maggie McCletchy, said, "This has been delayed too far. Whatever stage the coroner's report on Paddock is, it should be provided immediately with no further delays, no more games. The shooter's body was cremated December 21st. How can the autopsy report not be finalized when the body was cremated more than 5 weeks ago? The law is squarely on the side of the public's right to open government. The coroner's office is fought to keep the autopsy report completely confidential. Both news organizations agreed to receive the victims' autopsy reports with their names removed. Fudenberg said in the statement Tuesday that he would release the victims' report as soon as possible, which he finally did today, but he is still saying he will not release Paddock's autopsy until it was finalized. The judge also rejected the argument by the coroner's office that there were any privacy interests regarding the autopsy of Stephen Paddock, let alone any that outweighed the strong presumption of access to records in Nevada. Earlier this month, Paddock's body, which was cremated back in December, his remains were released to his younger brother, Eric Paddock, who lives in Orlando, Florida. So his body is already be cremated the end of December, right before Christmas. Basically, his brother, Eric Paddock, is released to pick up his cremated ashes. They won't ship them. Eric has to go to Vegas to pick up his ashes and bring them back. And now the coroner is saying, I can't release Paddock's autopsy because it's not finalized yet, almost a month and a half after it's been cremated. Guys, not only is that blatantly a lie and totally negligent if it was true, that is illegal. You can't sit there and autopsy somebody and then cremate their body immediately and not even have a report finalized. If anything is not completely finished, it would be the minute additions that are basically your small notes you'd be adding to the end of it, something very minute. But saying that he can't release anything because it's not finalized, yet he was cremated 6 weeks ago, five, 6 weeks ago now, guys, this is a blatant, complete, and total false flag lie. If Paddock was even in that hotel room, if
there you
he
go.
Was, I'm telling you right now, here's the issue you're going to run into. The reason why he is not reporting this, either he is going to have to go back in and redact something, go back in and falsify information, or come out and tell the truth. This is my main thing about this at all. If Paddock was even in the room, the reason why he will not release this, Paddock will not match up his time of death from the SWAT raid. The SWAT raid completely contradicted themselves 2 days ago when they said they watched Paddock blow his brains out when they raided the room. That means that his death should identically coincide with the exact same time the SWAT team raided the room, which they will have full access to, and on the warrant, and on their timeline, and on the police report, the exact timeline. So if it was 11:21 and 58 seconds when they breached the door and they saw him blow his brains out, that is the exact time on the autopsy that he should have been time of death. I can guarantee you any amount of money right now, that is not what is on that autopsy report, if he was even in that room when that happened, if they even saw him do that, which I don't believe for a second. So these guys got themselves basically caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They've given out too many exact timelines. They've given too many people on the SWAT team, the police department, the FBI, exact timelines of exact incidences that had happened right when they happened. And they have all agreed on the timeline now. They haven't changed it anymore. And now you got this coroner that's probably going, oh, crap, I'm looking at this thing. Golly, I'm pulling his time of death at like 8:22, like 4 hours before they raided the room. How the heck am I supposed to make this mesh? And then you got the FBI coming in there saying, listen, buddy, you're the coroner. His autopsy needs to match this. And he goes, well, I've already got the report like 99% finished. He's already been cremated. You better figure out how to go back and redact this or go back and officially change these papers. Because remember, when they do autopsy reports, this isn't like they're taking notes on a notebook paper. They're just like writing hand notes. Oh, this is what happened. This is what happened. They have full documentation with numbered autopsy reports from that time of day. So they're all in order from the days that they come in, from the bodies that they see, one to one. So if it's number 34051 autopsy report, he can't go in and change the autopsy report because it's already been, it already has that number finalized on it for that report. So he has to go back in and try and figure out how to change this. This guy's in a pickle. There's a reason why the judge is ordering him to release this thing, and he is stalling to the point that Paddock's body was cremated 6 weeks ago now, and this guy still has no idea when he's going to have it finalized, and he's defying a court order from a judge. This is a pickle, Dad, and I am very excited to see it. Looks like we have caught these guys in the middle of their own predicament, and we're going to see where this thing goes now and how much they're going to have to try to lie their way out of this one.
Well, the autopsy guy, the doctor did the autopsy. Remember, he has also has an audio recording, too, that he did.
Yeah, that's true.
The only way they're going to be – the guy who did the autopsy, he needs to be really he's in danger of being killed. Okay, he's in danger of being killed. A lot of people who are involved with the autopsies and the Clinton body count, the autopsy guys find them dead. They committed suicide because of the stress they're under, that kind of stuff. But it doesn't even stop there. This story gets even weirder than this. Listen to this article I'm pulling up. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's preliminary investigative report includes a description of the autopsy performed on Stephen Paddock. According to the police report, the body examined was 6'1" and had brown eyes. The problem is Stephen Paddock was 6'4" with blue eyes. The FBI has removed all of Paddock's records from the hospital near the home, his home in Mesquite, Nevada. When Clark County Coroner John Futtenberg refused to release the autopsy report, the Las Vegas Review Journal obtained a court order for him to do so. Futtenberg continues to defy the court over the order, though he's now facing a $32,000 fine for his refusal. This is a stench. The guy is not even the same guy. And this is like that movie you watched with Arnold Schwarzenegger years ago. What was it called? Eraser. And the guy comes in, brings a bunch of bodies in, a bunch of body bags. They put the real guy down there, put some fake blood on him, take a picture of it. Then they burn the house down that has the fake dead bodies on it so they cover up some of the forensic evidence. And then, of course, the dental records are substituted. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that these guys do all of the time. The problem is like this. When Ken LaHaye got busted for Enron and he was going to go to jail, suddenly he has a massive heart attack in his jail cell, and he is autopsied within a few minutes after he leaves the jail cell supposedly dead. Are you kidding me? I personally believe Ken LaHaye is still in a non-extradition country somewhere enjoying pina coladas on the beach with his doggone girlfriend. That's what I think is going on. That's where I think this whole thing's going to go. Paddock, I don't even believe, number one, that Stephen Paddock, a trained pilot, probably involved with the FBI, probably involved in Fast and Furious, probably involved in drug or gun smuggling, was going to be killed. He was going to be given a new identity, and they had to use his corpse or some corpse lookalike or somebody close to his size to be blowing their face off. And now all of these things are being lied about in the mainstream media and in the Las Vegas corner. Las Vegas is a city that is corrupt. It's corrupt to the core in organized crime. They've got their prostitutes, they've got their whores, they've got their whatever they got running around out there. They've got all of these gambling casinos, all of this stuff. It was founded with organized crime. It's still being contained and run through organized crime. It's one of the primary money laundering sites in the world for drug money. In other words, if you bring in $1 billion out of Afghanistan in heroin and you've got it sold on the streets, what do you do with all that cash? You dump it in a Las Vegas casino, and all of a sudden you wash it, and it goes back into the accounts and into the books. Or you dump it into an offshore bank account with one of these major banks that have been caught doing all of this stuff. This is how these guys operate. But Paddock had blue eyes. The autopsy said he had brown eyes. I don't blame the guy, Austin. He doesn't want to get himself shot. That's why he's not releasing any of the records. And chances are these official records are going to be changed. And chances are they're going to basically suicide this boy. And I hope that doesn't happen to him. He needs to be really careful. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Like I said, I think he's got himself in a pickle now. Here's the thing. If a legitimate situation happens, whether it's a shooting, whether it's a fight, whatever the situation happens, if it's legitimate, there's nothing to hide. There's nothing to change. There's nothing to redact. There's nothing to try to turn and convolute it to make it weirder. If you have an individual that decided to buy a bunch of rifles, go nuts, rent out the top floor of a hotel, and shoot a bunch of people, hey, when the SWAT team raided the room, he blew his mouth. He put a pistol in his mouth, blew his brains out. He's done. Coroner declared him dead, gunshot wound to the head. We'd have the report in about, 1 to 2 months maximum, and that would be it. There would be no hiding it. This guy is giving himself away. Now, what he may be going on as well, whether or not this coroner is truly complicit in this, or he got himself in a jam, he may be a legit coroner. And he may have taken on this role now, and all of a sudden he's in this pickle where he's like, oh my gosh, I have got myself wrapped up in a full-blown conspiracy. What the heck am I supposed to do now? I can't release the official statement because he didn't die at 1121 or 1151, and he didn't die from a gunshot wound to his head. He died from poisoning, or he died to a knife wound to his heart, or whatever else happened on that. And he's going, okay, the only option I have right now to not make myself completely complicit in this, but not give myself away and make the FBI basically or CIA put a hit out on me, I'm just going to have to defy the court order and basically blatantly not comply with the judge. That way I can try to skate with the FBI and CIA. The judge can hold me in contempt and maybe fine me. And also, too, maybe it will be a big red flag to the American population to look into this and realize that something else is going on. Please, Americans, look at what's going on and understand I would not defy a court order to release a coroner report on an autopsy of somebody that died 4 months ago for any legitimate purpose other than the fact it's a cover-up. That may be also too what's going on, Dad.
And also, this release of the FISA memo and the release of this information coinciding with Paddock at the same time may be done again. This is what they do. They intend, first of all, the FISA report, like you said, if Trump's not really in charge, nothing's going to happen. And quite frankly, we'll find out pretty quick, because I don't think Trump's in charge, because I'm looking at chemtrails out the window. Okay, so we've got this whole thing that's going on. The guys who did this shooting in Vegas, the deep state who's involved in this, these are the boys who are in charge, and we're seeing that over and over again. By the way, most offenses against Jews in Germany now, they're saying all these anti-Semitic things are happening in Germany, but most of these offenses in Germany are committed by Muslims, because the Muslims hate the Jews. But the authorities in Germany now are blaming right-wingers, anything to basically slam a right-winger. Germany, federal crime reports and statistics attributed 93% of anti-Semitic offenses in the first half of 2017 to right-wing extremists. Total lie. However, these numbers are fictional because the right is blamed by default when the perpetrator is unknown. When Jews are polled, 8% said relatives or acquaintances had been targeted of physical attacks over the last year. Another 36% were abused or insulted. Furthermore, 81% of the attacks and 62% of the insults came from Muslims. In other words, here it is, 81% from Muslims, 62% from Muslims for the insults, but yet the German people are being told that 93% of these are right-wingers, basically neo-Nazis, trying to prevent the Jews and the Muslims and all this stuff from knowing the truth. This thing's complete nonsense, what's going on in Germany right now. Guys, newsflash, Muslims hate Jews. Jews hate Muslims. Look at what's going on in Gaza right now. I mean, it's awful what's happening, what the Jews are doing to the Muslims. Look at this giant mess that's going on, that's been going on ever since Abraham couldn't have a baby. He basically brought Hagar in as his maidservant to be a surrogate, and basically had, I guess it was Ishmael, and then basically turned around and Sarah gets pregnant and has Isaac, and then Ishmael gets booted out with Hagar out into the desert. That's how this whole thing started. These guys have been hating each other for thousands and thousands of years, and it irritates me when there's such a deep-seated hatred. But here's the problem. The German government is so politically correct as far as immigration and bringing millions and millions and millions of foreigners and Muslims into Germany that they don't want to say that they're the ones that are causing the rise in anti-Semitism in Germany. And plus, I don't even like the term anti-Semitism. The entire area, though, in that area, including the Arabs, are Semites. And so when you say anti-Semitic, you're talking about anti-Middle East, which is completely ridiculous. I mean, this whole thing is nonsense, what's going on in Germany. And guys, if we're not careful, it's going to come to a theater near you. Austin, what do you think?
You're not kidding whatsoever. It's definitely some wild stuff going on. There's no question about it. Also, to another info as well, I saw this earlier now. The issue that we're running into now with the opiate crisis, they're showing now that basically, where's it at here? I just had it. Sorry, guys. Pulled up here. American deaths caused by fentanyl has now doubled since 2015. Fentanyl, from the research I'm doing now, is pretty much the new OxyContin and the new heroin. This stuff, when you're looking at the numbers on it, has spiked through the roof. Synthetic opioids are now much more deadlier than heroin as far as the actual deaths. They've been spiking significantly all the way since basically 2014 and have come through the roof now, and they're literally continuing to grow. I was pulling up numbers here the other day, and they were saying now that like basically 60-70% of all the deaths are now pretty much fentanyl. And the issue with this now is because, as you guys know, it's topical. I mean, and it's super small amounts. They come in like 12 and like 25 microgram transdermal patches. The reason why, and I've tried to figure this out the other day because I was trying to understand what happened with this. What I'm starting to realize now is, A, transdermal patches are very easy to manufacture. Okay. B, transdermal patches are incredibly easy to ship. They come like basically in a sheet, like a piece of paper, like sheets. They're basically stuck. So they're flat. So you could fit, you know, thousands of these transdermal patches literally in just a small little tiny flat notebook, like the size of an iPad, like tens of thousands of them in there. Not to mention, it's much, much easier to knock this stuff off in labs overseas because you don't even have to essentially deal with tablet size, you know, tablet coating, milligram size and all this stuff. You can pretty much dose it any way you want. It doesn't matter if it's deadly or not, as you see what's going on now. And it's super easy because you don't even have to swallow a pill. Heroin, I mean, that's a pretty intense compound to take. I mean, you basically have to eject your own vein with it. It's, you know, sent in your body. That's a rough pill to swallow if you're not used to doing that, I would imagine. And so they've made it so easy now to where even little kids can get hooked on this stuff, where you literally just swipe a patch on your arm and you get this incredible opiate, basically high, and become addicted so quickly. But I was trying to do some research on it today, Dad, and the number that basically people are dying with this stuff, I mean, we're talking, you know, 50, 60,000 people a year now are dying from this opiate crisis, and it's exploding way more than it was even 5, 6 years ago, and that's exactly what the issue now. It's not the heroin deaths, it's not even the OxyContin deaths on it now. It's basically turning into the fentanyl deaths, which is really, really scary to me, because I even read an article a while back ago about a law enforcement officer who was basically patting down somebody who's getting arrested, and this dude had an open fentanyl patch in his pocket. The officer basically pulled out. He wasn't wearing gloves, which was negligent on his part. However, you know, sometimes it happens. I mean, we were trying to make sure somebody has weapons on him. Stuff got all over his hand, got super sick because way more opiates than he ever used to have. Basically had to go to the hospital. They had to keep him there for like 2 days. He survived, obviously, because it wasn't, you know, a deadly amount, but it still got him incredibly sick. This stuff is really, really dangerous, and everybody needs to be aware of this stuff, especially on the market. You got to think about this, too. What if you get in an altercation, like Dad did at the movie theater yesterday, or 2 days ago when he talked about it on the show, and you're dealing with somebody that's doped up, and, you know, they're using fentanyl and they're using meth. They're basically speedballing, is what they call it, using a stem and a downer. What happens? You get an altercation with this guy, and he didn't even want to hit you, or he didn't want to do anything. He basically just rubs you with a fentanyl patch in the middle of an argument, all of a sudden slaps you on the shoulder with it. Now what do you do? So the more I keep researching this stuff from a globalist standpoint, and the fact that this stuff was even able to come to market via the FDA boggles my mind on how dangerous this stuff is, Dad. But when you realize what the overall goal and intent was with the opiates, and that the heroin and the OxyContin was still not yielding enough deaths or addictions, the fentanyl makes perfect sense now why this stuff ever could have gotten approved by the FDA.
Well, it's a magnitude stronger than heroin. Magnitudes. I mean, it requires small. It's basically just absolutely synthesized, being incredibly pure. I mean, it's just dangerous stuff. I mean, it's transdermal, for heaven's sakes. God, you reabsorb through your skin. You don't have to use needles. You don't have to do anything. So it makes it simple. You absorb it through your skin. You're not going to deal with all the problem with opiates as far as constipation when you take this stuff orally. You're not going to have to deal with dirty needles because you don't have to worry about getting AIDS or hepatitis and that. It's the perfect example of what to use for a person who's addicted, who doesn't want to use needles, doesn't want to take orals, and ends up basically being a product they can use, they can hide, they can put it in their wallet, nobody's going to know what it is. I mean, you take a pack of BC powder, which is like a headache powder, which I don't recommend because it has aspirin and caffeine in it, but you take that and put a fentanyl patch in the middle of that, nobody will know any difference. Well, you'll see it and find it unless you start digging through the doggone BC pouch. And see, this is the problem that people run into, Austin, when they're taking these kind of drugs. They've got to find easier and easier ways to get their opiate hit. And this is the opportunity for a person who's working on Wall Street, or a person who's working in a daycare, or a teacher who's teaching a classroom, not to have to break out needles and doggone spoons and candles. This is the way they're going to do this in the future. This is the perfect way to get as many people as they possibly can totally addicted without having to deal with the problems associated with gastrointestinal issues, with opiates, and also with the use of dirty needles. It really is a brilliant marketing plan, as I can say that in a really weird way, for them to get more and more people using this particular type of product. I mean, it's awful. Yes. By the way, the investigation of sex abuse at Michigan State University is leading to the discovery that among elitists, pedophilia is systemic. Dr. Larry Nassar, an orthopedic osteopathic doctor at Michigan State University, who was the USA Gymnastics National Team doctor, was accused of molesting 250 underage girls. That's a lot of girls. God, this guy's a pervert. Including a number of well-known Olympic gymnasts dating far back as 1992. He was sentenced to 60 years in federal prison and 40 to 175 years in state prison. Michigan State students and staffers in the basketball and football programs have also faced accusations of rape. The scandal at Michigan State University is similar to the Jerry Sandusky pedophile scandal at Penn State, as it is a systematic problem in schools all over the United States that is covered up and protected by the institutions. The report, this has just been released on this, makes the case that the sordid history of sex abuse and cover-up by top officials in sports, entertainment, and politics are not merely occasional events involving a small number of people, but now are systemic among elite classes in many walks of life, which we told you guys that over and over again. Although it's not mentioned in the report that I'm referring to, there is evidence that those who seek influence over national and international leaders operate pedophile rings in high places, mainly as recruiting pools from which to select new leaders. This is exactly what they did with basically the Lolita Island down there in the Caribbean. By doing so, the threat of public exposure can be used as a means of guaranteeing loyalty and obedience. In other words, sexual deviants are deliberately recruited for leadership positions in society so they can be controlled. This is exactly what we've seen going on with Congress. You got these weirdos up there doing these and making all of these laws. I'm wondering now also why so many people in the GOP and the Democratic Party are all not running for office again. I mean, how much of this stuff is going to come out, how much of it's going to be exposed, and how much of it can we stop if it's this systemic at the higher levels of these quote-unquote institutions, Austin? What do you think?
Yeah, there's no question about it, man. I mean, it's gotten so far. I mean, and that's why we bring this stuff to you guys on the show on a regular basis. And a lot of our regular listeners, you know, we may bring up some topics over and over again, like the vaccinations, Monsanto, and all this stuff. And the reason why is because this stuff is becoming so systemic all across the board that it has to be addressed repeatedly, because the problem is if we don't talk about it on a regular basis, it just gets swept under the rug of all the other mainstream news. And that's really what happens, because, and this is just truth what it is, majority of Americans now have an incredibly short attention span. It's just, it is what it is. And so you can't sit there and say something one time and expect everybody to get it. Our listeners are extremely smart. Our health master's family is awesome, but still, we add more people, and people need to know about this. I've had multiple people asking about the whole flu shot thing, and we talk about it repeatedly. Well, I got another article here I'm going to basically discuss briefly, because I talk about it so much, but I want to reiterate this, what has been going on with the flu vaccine and why this stuff has been spreading so effectively. I've said this so many times. Doesn't anybody else find it ironic that the flu season doesn't really ever start, and I put flu season with quotations around them, until people start getting the flu vaccination?
That's right.
I find that odd. I mean, you ever start noticing? I mean, actually, look outside the box, start focusing on it. When you see Walgreens start putting free flu shot ads, you see CVS, you see Walmart, these guys start blasting, oh, get your flu shot here, get your flu shot here. And all of a sudden, a month later, 2 months later, everybody around you is getting sick with the flu. Hospitals getting inundated with the flu. Seems like everybody's getting the flu. And you always go, where's patient zero with this? This supposed flu mutates every year. There's a new strand of it every year. Who's patient zero? Who got it first? Who's the one who started spreading it? I don't know, because nobody can ever seem to figure that out. Yet when we're dealing with something as dangerous as supposedly is the flu, why does it seem it just pops out of nowhere right when the flu shot starts? Well, another new scientific study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science finds that people who receive flu shots now emit 630% more flu virus particles into the air compared to non-vaccinated individuals. In effect, this finding documents evidence that the flu vaccines directly contributes to the spread of the flu. Imagine that. And that so-called herd immunity, basically immunizations, is a medical hoax, herd immunity, because the herd is actually transformed into carriers and spreaders of the influenza. The bombshell finding is documented in a study entitled Infectious Virus in Inhaled Breath of Symptomatic Seasonal Influenza Cases from a Community College. It was authored by a bunch of people. Details of this bombshell study have been revealed by Sarah Jai at GreenMedInfo, a site that's rapidly becoming a huge researcher on this. GreenMedInfo has published 500 studies that document the adverse effects and injury of these vaccinations. The study, which examined 355 volunteers who were sick with flu-like symptoms, found that people who previously received the flu shots emitted sharply higher quantities of flu virus particles that can infect other 600 people, coming to the conclusion that the people who received the flu shot emit 630% more flu virus particles in the air compared to non-vaccinated individuals. Guys, that right there should be direct as it gets on why you don't need to be getting stuff injected into your body when you don't know what it is, Dad. And that is about as simply put as I can make it.
Austin, I don't know how to make it any more succinct than that. I mean, you've got a situation where, you know, you've got all these people out there that are coming down with this flu. Like you said, where's patient zero? I mean, there is no patient zero because they're being infected. They're being intentionally infected by this doggone immunization. It's not an immunization. Yeah. It's a vaccine. They immunize against anything. I mean, every single year they come out and say the flu shot was the wrong variant anyhow. So all you do is load yourself up with mercury. Remember, three flu shots in a row contain so much thimerosal from a multivial shot that it increases the risks of senile dementia by 50%. That's what this stuff does. So we're dumbing them down. Now up there in New York, the governor of New York's begging people to go out and get the flu shot. They don't understand. It's being transmitted because of the flu shot. Ridiculous. I want to say, there's an article here I want to cover with you real quick, and this is really one of those things that it really bothers me, and it bothers me a lot. And I'm going to talk about it. President Trump is now saying that he wants to unite America without a major event. What the heck does that even mean? While dining with TV reporters, President Trump said, "I would love to be able to bring back our country into a great form of unity." Then he added, "without a major event where people pull together. That's hard to do. But what I would like to do is it without the major event, because usually that major event is not good." He's referring to like 9/11 or Pearl Harbor. "We agree with him wholeheartedly," this is what this article is saying, "but it's unnerving that a major event is not a good thing," quote, "is still on the table as his second choice. One can only wonder if the president has been briefed on the possibility of another Pearl Harbor or 9/11, with the result that he would have no clear choice as the nation's leader, but to establish the kind of unity that comes from public fear and national law," and I'm adding through shock doctrine, I added that. "From the perspective of the deep state, Trump would be the ideal person for that task, because his supporters, who might vigorously object to such action administered by someone like Hillary Clinton, would meekly accept him if it was administered by him. Now we know that that is a possibility on his mind." Guys, this is a major, what I just covered with you is huge. This is on Need to Know You News by G. Edward Griffin. Now, this is an interesting commentary because, guys, think about what Griffin is saying and think about what Trump said. He wants to unite unite America without a major event. Guys, Griffin's right about this. Hillary would get so much backlash. Obama would get so much backlash. But these conservatives, these neocons, and these Zionists who are going to support Trump no matter what. Let me explain something to you guys. I'm not that guy, all right? I'm going to call this out for what it is. You know, but I've got people who are Christians, who are pastors of huge churches, who know Donald Trump's past, who know what's going on with the Federal Reserve, who know who he's appointing into his administration, and regardless of what he does, regardless of what he even says, it doesn't make any difference. They support him, and they really, really believe that he can do no wrong. Guys, we cannot allow ourselves to fall into that same stinking mindset these guys have that we did with George Bush. George Bush took us to the Patriot Act. George Bush gave us the National Defense Authorization Act. George Bush turned us into a stinking police state with the NSA because the Christians supported George Bush, because the conservatives supported George Bush. And then Obama turned right around and did the same thing that George Bush did, and everybody said, "Oh, I can't believe he's doing this." And I warned my listeners even back then, 16 years ago, I said, "Guys, look, if George Bush puts these policies into place, we don't know what dictator wannabe is going to take over the United States with all of this stuff in place already with a continuity of government." Guys, we can't allow these types of policies to be implemented at any level at any time. And so we have to stay awake, and we have to realize that Donald Trump is not God. Donald Trump is not Yahweh. Donald Trump is not Yeshua. Donald Trump is a man who likes to commit adultery on his wife, who is a pretty good business guy, according to some people. Other people say no, who somehow got bailed out of hundreds of millions of dollars in debt in the early 90s. We still have no idea how that happened. And all of a sudden, he becomes president of the United States, and he's talking about a major event to unite the United States. To me, this is frightening. And I tell you what, guys, from what we talked about all day today, from the FISA memo, from the stuff with Paddock, from all the stuff with the fentanyl, this is the worst thing I've seen come across my screen in the past few weeks. Because, guys, this is a major deal. Remember what Robert David Steele said right after that happened in Las Vegas? He said that Donald Trump knew it was going to happen, and he could not stop it. I'm going to repeat that. He said Robert David Steele said that Donald Trump was not in charge, that he knew it was going to happen. He could not stop it. All he could try to do was mitigate the response and what happens in the other side of it. Guys, this is a problem. And if anybody doesn't see this other than me, which I know you guys do, but the people who are listening to the shows and say, oh, Ted's off the deep end on this one, I'm just telling you what Trump said. Why is he even talking about this? None of this is okay, guys. So you guys pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what the rhetoric is. Because in most cases, guys, listen to me, this is so important. If you listen closely to what these political leaders tell you and what they say to you, or business people say to you, or what they tell you, they'll tell you in advance, though it may be cloaked, what their intentions are going to be. They're going to telegraph, they're going to foreshadow what they think is going to happen. Guys, this is some pretty strong foreshadowing, letting people know something like this. Maybe he knows something's going to happen. Maybe he knows that. Maybe he's powerless to stop it. And now he's saying something like this to try to get everybody to wake up and realize what's going on. I have no idea, but I find this extremely troubling and very alarming. Austin, what do you think?
That's extremely alarming, to say the least. Like you just said, though, maybe, I don't know, maybe this could be his way of indirectly trying to warn the American population of something that may be happening, and he's trying to say, hey, this may be going on right now. I would prefer that you guys doesn't happen, but you guys need to look and wake up. Same thing David Steele said on that. I was pretty much under the same assumption. I've read other things on that too, that, I mean, you can't pull off something of the magnitude of the Vegas shooting, especially how many people were involved in it, and not have the upper levels of government know at least the likelihood or the circumstances surrounding the incident. It can't happen. You know, at some point in time, something's going to get leaked. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Well, this is going to be set up here, because they don't want individuals being in that situation either, especially high-ranking people that don't need to be there. They don't want them to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I want to go to Vegas this weekend. Let's go. You know what, guys? You probably shouldn't go to Vegas this weekend. That's all I'm going to say. I really don't think you want to be there in the event that some type of massive event happens. That's almost like what Trump's doing right now. It's like he's trying to give us basically a veiled warning about something. I don't know. We could be reading into it differently, but I think you're pretty accurate about that, Dad. I think there's something. I mean, we already know with the FISA stuff, with this whole Vegas thing unraveling, with everything that's been going on as far as the ICE agents, with the police state getting bigger and bigger throughout the entire country, everything going on in the Middle East, North Korea, blah, 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 whole name, we talk about it all the time, there's going to reach a point where, and this is what the globalists do every single time, they take everybody to a world war in order to cover their tracks of what's really been going on. And I have a very strong feeling that's about to happen here very shortly. I mean, look already what happened with Hawaii. I mean, we had the national broadcast, basically the state emergency broadcast in Hawaii, issue a blatant, this is not a warning, a nuclear attack is pending on Hawaii, missiles have been launched. I mean, it does not get any clearer than what got sent out on the state emergency broadcasting. There was no accidental anything with that. And then they come out 30 minutes later, oh, we're sorry, we're sorry. The guy pushed the wrong button. Apparently, there's already a button that already has that preset in there. Missiles have been launched. This is not a drill, take cover, nuclear attack pending. Apparently, there's already a button for that, already ready to go. And he just accidentally pushed it, and it immediately sent it out to every single resident in Hawaii. That's just what happened. Are you guys kidding me right now? Are you really kidding me? Does anybody believe that story at all? There was something launched in Hawaii, and it got probably put down, is what I believe and what a lot of other people believe, by our incredibly good military and efficient as we are with a lot of stuff. So there's things that are going on right now, and there are two factions of our government that I think are fighting on the inside. And for him to say something like that, Dad, that's pretty clear to me exactly what he's trying to say.
I agree. By the way, Dow Jones average down 654 points today. Just thought I'd mention down 2.5%. Guys, interesting stuff happening. I want to tell you something, guys. I appreciate you and I love you. You guys are the absolute best. You guys rock the planet, man. I tell you what, I've talked to so many of you guys this weekend. You guys are just, you're so smart. My gosh, you guys are smart. Thank you for listening to this show. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being here for us. Thank you for just your love and your prayers. You guys are great. Tonight I'll be back on with Hagman again, along with Sharon and Austin. Be on from 7 to 10 p.m. Doug was also on today with Alex Jones, if you want to listen to the tape of that. Also, Doug hosted the last hour of the Alex Jones Show, if you want to listen to that. Love Doug Hagman, too. He's a really, really good friend. So is Dave Hodges. So is Sheila. And so are you guys. I appreciate you so much. Gosh, I love you guys. I appreciate you beyond belief. So talk to you tomorrow. Well, I won't be talking to you. I'll be talking to you tonight if you're listening to the Doug Hagman. Oh, by the way, Austin's got a benefit for you on a new product we have called Attention Factor coming out. So he'll talk about that just now. We have a coupon code for Hagman tonight we'll give you guys first. God bless you guys. I appreciate you. Love you. I'll talk to you guys live again on Monday on this show.
Absolutely, man. Yes, guys, we've been working on this product. We basically got a small batch ordered and made that we've been trying out, and we decided to pretty much throw on the website. The product's called Attention Factor. Essentially, what it helps out with, it's got our magnesium formula, our magnetine, which is our thionate, which is in our powder, also, too, the vitamin B12, and also theocrine, which actually acts as kind of a neurofocuser on the brain. It has similar effects of caffeine, yet it's still considered not a stimulant and not supposed to raise cortisol levels. Very interesting product. I've liked it. I've used it off and on. It's not something that I would recommend using, taking every day, all day. It's not that type of product. It's a very specified product, whether it's a presentation, whether it's a paper, whether it's a job interview that you're doing or something very specific that you're trying to get done. I think this product fits perfectly for that, and that's how we've been using it for the last month or so, trying it out. So if you use the coupon Doug25, it'll actually give you 25% off this product for the first week that we released it, because we want everybody to have the chance to try it. That coupon code is only good for this product. That pretty much is pushing this product out right above our cost and shipping cost in order to kind of let everybody try it. We want to get your feedback on it. Give us your reviews online. Give us your emails online. Let us know. You can even go online and rate the product and write a review on it after you buy it. So give that a shot. Check it out. And that's on the website at healthmasters.com. Attention Factor. And be sure to listen to the Hagman Show tonight. Lots of good stuff as always. I think I'm going to be on there the last 30 minutes or so as well. So you guys have a blessed, safe, awesome evening, a great night, and an awesome weekend. And we'll be back on this show again Monday, as always.